We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Welcome into another The Denver Sports Podcast, TDSP, presented by Breckenridge Brewery. You can get Breck Brew here at the DMVR bar. You can find it at breckbrew.com in the beer locator. Just type in your zip code, shows you exactly where to find it. Breck Brew, the official craft beer DMVR. I'm Harrison Wind, joined on this TDSP today by my guy Spencer Smith.
What's up, Harrison?
What's up, dude?
Thanks for having me on, bro.
Thanks for coming on.
I've never been out of the maybe a drunk Nuggets was in once when I was drunk. Nah.
I feel like we did do a drunk Nuggets post game, so yeah.
I think I hit one.
Yeah. Also joined by my guy, Henry Chisholm.
Yes. Back-to-back appearances.
The people love you, man.
Let's go. That's all I wanted. Because the Bronco fans are a little bit iffy on me at this point. But, yeah.
Why are they iffy on you?
Oh, I mean, where to start? I mean, I guess you start with the playoff run a couple of years ago when I was like, you know what? The Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. It's not what they are. And so then it's just kind of been like, they hated me for that. It's been up and down. And now it's
because you're right?
Yeah. No, that's the thing. That's the thing. But yeah, and then you go to like Bo Nix. There's some people, I'm getting a lot of DMs like, why do you not like Bo Nix? It's like, bro, what do you mean?
How do you not to like about a short, old, hurt?
Because he's not that good.
He hits wide open receivers 5 yards away. Congrats.
That's Lynch.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting. So no, we're rebuilding the reputation over here.
Also, Henry today drinking his first ever Celsius energy drink.
Which, one of the things that kind of sucks about having a bunch of sponsors and partners,
yeah,
which are very few of them, is that you worry about things like drinking a Celsius in front of the camera, giving like an honest review. But I don't think we have anybody who competes with Celsius.
We do not have any energy drink company.
So I can just straight up say, like, yeah, this is kind of changing my life. Like, I'm halfway through.
You are
like,
hilarious.
I'm like, I'm seeing all the colors are becoming more clear. The can says it burns fat, which awesome. Accelerates metabolism.
Sweating.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, the only, like, you on Celsius, the only one that somebody can make more and reap is Celsius. Like, that energy is trying to match your internal energy.
Yeah, I think I've given Celsius maybe a bit of a bad rap because, like...
You're giving it a pretty good review right now.
I am now because I've actually tried it. Before it was like, oh, it's like sorority girl drink. Is kind of the vibe.
Banned or something, or they had to change up the stuff in it?
I think they had to change like what it said on it. Or there was an energy drink that was basically just like saying it was just completely lying late. Okay. I don't know if it was Celsius for sure, but it was basically like this has, you know, I mean, it has how many, it's not that insane. Like, how many grams of caffeine does it have?
And has a whole bunch of chromium.
chromium? What's that?
I have no idea. 50 milligrams of that's calcium.
Oh, give me.
Well, it doesn't say caffeine anywhere on here. Maybe that's what they had.
That's probably the unsafe part of it.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. 200 milligrams. Make it all swallowed down.
And not bad.
Okay.
Like,
there was a whole recall for cans that did not.
Yeah.
Oh, this says that chromium is an essential trace mineral found in foods and supplements, and might help keep blood sugar levels normal by improving the way the body uses insulin.
Leonardo,
is it good for you?
Is
there's no way.
That's one of those things where I don't have any insulin issues. Like, I don't need it.
Not that you
even know. If it's saying, like, it for everybody, it makes it better. I just, things are going pretty well, so maybe I'm not going to mess with that.
All right, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Get 18 packs of those at Costco. I usually get one every couple weeks.
Also created in 2005.
But it just is popping off right now.
That's crazy.
All right. Whatever. Guys, what's not popping off right now? The Rockies. As we record this, I think they're about to play in Chicago. 540?
Yeah.
Nice call. The Rockies are 1-4. They're already 3 games back in the NL West. They're not the worst team in baseball, though. They actually
The White Sox haven't won a game yet.
That's true. That's actually true, yeah. And the run differential.
I was going to say the run differential. The A's have a worse run differential. Minus 27. The Rockies' run differential's minus 23.
That's crazy.
All right. I'm glad I have you guys on the show today because two of the most positive baseball guys, I feel like, at the company. Why is the Rockies season not over yet?
Because there's still opportunity for growth in what we want to see. Like, my brother calls me overly optimistic, and he said today, quote, in exact quotes, it's like going back to a bad ex-girlfriend multiple times. I try to get past the ownership part of it. Like, yes, it sucks, but there's nothing we can do about
it. It is what it is.
I like the Rockies baseball.
Exactly.
Like, I'm sorry that Dick Monfort owns them, but I like the Rockies baseball team, so I'm not going to stop that. I do think that, like, they're not going to be good, and anybody telling you that is completely delusional. I'm not fully delusional, but I also think that there's things that we can see. Like, if they were 1-4 but had lost a couple of close games, not had a bad Newt's Bears scenario, and in a Little League home run allowed yesterday, there's some things that we're seeing right now that make it look really bad.
Yep.
But the season's not over because, in reality, the season never started, or it was never going to be this team should be a playoff team, like everybody says about the Padres every single year, and then they never make it. Like, this team's a 60 to 70 win team, you know, maybe in the 50s, who knows. But we have to see, like, the Nolan Jones playing well, the Ezekiel Tovar playing well, and that's not happening. So that part of it worries me, but the actual season still has a lot, too. There's a lot of room for growth.
I feel like if they didn't give up 14 runs in the third inning in the opener, it'd feel a little different.
Certainly.
Like, that was the worst way possible to start.
I mean, it was the worst inning in Rockies history.
Yeah, they had two.
Like, the fact that that was on opening day, that kind of, like, I think killed everybody's interest right there.
Yeah, they've had two of the worst, like, the worst possible moments in last night's game and then that game. That just, any sliver of hope that this team could, like, be competing mid-June or July and 500, maybe messing around. Like, people forget the Orioles 3 years ago were the worst team in baseball. Yeah. That's the reason they have Jackson Holliday now. And not saying the Rockies can turn it around like that, but it is possible. It's possible by teams all around the league.
I've talked about this, I think, on this show before. Teams that have had, like, 100 losses, like, 3 years later, they're in the playoffs. You know? Like, that shit just happens in baseball.
And that's
if you know what you're doing.
Right.
That's the problem.
That is the part that's the part that's still jury's still out.
Yeah. The Rockies are going to have a good season at some point. Like,
maybe.
At some point. Like, the question is just when. And that's what this season is about. It's being like, okay, Brendan Doyle is good. Or, like, Nolan Jones is good. Like, to be able to think that that's not going to be, like, 15 years down the line, that's actually going to be in, like, a year or two. And to go back to, like, the crazy ex-girlfriend scenario, the difference is, in that world, you can just go date somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, we're stuck in Denver. We've got the Rockies. It's like if you're on a desert island and there's just one girl there. And it's like, yeah, she might be the worst. But, like, what are you going to do?
She's also the best.
Exactly. Like,
she's the only.
You don't have another option.
Right.
It might suck, but it's like, it's her, it's nothing.
Yeah, like, if you're a true fan of the Rockies, you can't just be like, I'm not watching them or I don't care.
I did
if you're a true fan.
I took last season off. I went to a handful of games because, like, you got to do it. That was the one where, like, I bottomed out. I was like, I can't right now. But that was a low point. We're building back up.
Okay, I like that you're building back up, but this would have been the year hit that bottom out, I think.
Yeah.
I kind of think.
I really hope it was last year. I mean, that was the worst year in team history.
So far.
so far.
They're like an ex-girlfriend that's still a little fun to like hang out with every once in a while.
Oh, it's
she's got the party.
Then, yeah, you know? Go to her place and it's just a great time.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, I did it.
Yeah, and you're like, yeah. I won't come back here for like a month.
She's got like a big flat screen TV, like Xbox.
Right. Yeah, like her apartment's really cool to go into. Like, she's got
a big old stock and get a little like beer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good views.
Yeah.
But, it's not worth
it. Yeah, once it gets to about midnight, you're trying to figure out how to Uber your way home.
It has been really hard to. Like you, because I mean, we all kind of knew this wasn't going to be a great season.
Yeah.
But to watch it actually happen, you forget how badly it hurts. Because like they're 1-4 right now. If somebody were to tell me before, you'd be like, "Yeah, 1-4 makes sense." But then you see the ball just go under Nolan Jones's glove,
right?
And then they're just running. They run all the bases. Like that should have been like a single or something. But it's just you forget all the different ways there are to lose in baseball. And we're not even a week in, and we're going to see dozens more. I mean,
maybe
we might see 100 more different ways you can lose a baseball game.
Right.
So that stinks. It also stinks that, like, they've only credited Nolan Jones with 2 errors so far, I think.
He's had more?
I think they have him on 4.
Do they have him on 4?
I think he's on pace for, like, 133
Okay,
errors.
Good. Because, like, there have been so many where it's just like, oh, God. Like, and he was supposed to be a good defensive player.
He was supposed to be the guy. He's, like, the guy that... If you're like a Homer Rockies fan, you're hitching your wagon.
I bought the jersey. Opening day, I went over Coors, I bought the jersey. So I was like, this is the one thing we have that's going for us. And as in like those couple of weeks before the season, you think about like all the things that could go right. Where it's like, okay, they were like 18th in runs last year. They could do that again. Like they just need the pitching. Like if the rotation kind of steps up, like Kyle Freeland has like, you never think about all the things that you expect to go all right. That could go horribly wrong. Like, Nolan Jones, terrible. Like, the Kyle Freeland, that start on opening night, terrible. And so that's the thing that's kind of stung me, is that I had the total wrong mindset of like, okay, here's what could go right, this could be fun, but it's the things that you expect to be all right that have gone horribly wrong.
Do you, how many games do you guys go to a year, usually?
Rockies, I'm usually in like the 15 to 20 range, I'd
say. Yeah, okay. I think my eye is 23, but now that I live like a 5-minute walk away, the goal this year is 20. The combination of cheap tickets, like, I mean, why not? What else am I going to do?
Right.
I guess is the argument for a Rockies game.
Right. The baseball does have a stranglehold on the market of summer night activities.
Exactly.
Like, if you're a sports fan.
Exactly.
There is, like, nothing better, you know, if you're going out a night in Denver. I feel like a banner night is dinner, Rockies game, bars.
Yep. 100%.
Like, that's a great night downtown.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter what happens in the game.
In our apartment complex, I did just remember. So the guy who's married to the manager of the apartment complex listens to the Broncos podcast. Not sure if he's listening now. But sometimes I got to think about what I'm saying. We're technically not allowed to grill on our balcony.
Yeah,
we're trying to decide like
in Denver, yeah,
how to go around that, because there are like community grills.
Yeah,
but like grilling before you go
to, yeah,
we're working. You might have to use the community grill.
It's probably the community grill.
Oh yeah, you lived at this building.
Just like walk the whole way with like a fucking big tray.
Oh yeah,
sit down there. It's like I don't love this.
Yeah, community grill not the best setup.
No, and then you get down there, if you can't see it beforehand, and then there's, like, 2 dudes on it, you're like, cool, I'll just sit here and try my fucking raw meat hanging out, waiting for the
trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited to go to some games, though. Like,
yeah.
Coors Field, you can't beat it.
No, like, the sunset there.
I've only bet on the Rockies once this season.
You're betting on the Rockies?
Well, they're not going to lose every game. So you just...
True.
So... It was actually, and that was the one I bet on them. So I was like, okay, they're due for a win. Like, they're not going to stay this bad forever. And so I'm 1-for-1, which is obviously a good start.
You guys think they're winning today?
He's got to be
better. Kyle Freeland on the bump in Chicago?
I mean, does their pitcher have a sub-39 ERA?
Their pitcher
has no guarantee.
His debut. Javier Assad.
Okay, I don't know him. That's true of most baseball players.
Second year or third year.
My betting on the Rockies this year has been kind of like the Rockies season. So I was here at the bar Saturday, and they were down 2-0, and I wanted like some action. I was already betting on Animals, all this stuff.
Sometimes you just need some action.
Yeah, I was like, I'm watching the Rockies, like, I need some action. So I go in, and they're plus 390 money line. Oh, down 2-0. Yeah. So I go to bet it. It sends me on the re-login scenario.
Yeah. That makes you really think books. About the bet you're about.
Yeah.
When it makes you log
in. So I do that. In the process of me re-logging in, resetting the app, Tovar hit the 2-run home run. They went from plus 390 to plus 160, and I said, I can't bet this.
Yeah.
I can't bet this at 160. And then they
I hadn't made any bets. I actually, since that bet, until yesterday, I was sitting there, I was watching the apps. We're down 3-0 after the second period.
July, bet it.
Meanwhile, LSU was down. And so I was like, okay, like we'll throw a parlay in there.
Yeah.
I'll throw in like the Rockies today, Nuggets tonight, $10 to win $2,000. And about 10 minutes after I made the bet, I was like, what am I doing here? Like, what a terrible bet. This isn't going to happen. So I cash it out, and I turned $10 into $10.27. So
you just keep doing it.
Getting out of egg.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Food every day, and
bad at all.
I'll have a few bucks.
I can buy you some more Celsius's.
Yeah. I'm going to need to start budgeting. Also, on sale at King Supers. Supposed to be $2.50. Plugged in my phone number. $1.99.
There you go.
$10 for a whole night of hackiness.
That's exactly. Well, assuming I don't tank.
Well, see, like a tank is okay, right? If you're ready to like go to bed.
I don't know. I don't feel like energy drinks work on me anymore.
I don't feel like they work on me either, but I feel like it's a placebo effect. Where, like, I have to have...
You're supposed to be energized, like you just are.
Yeah, like, I wake up in the morning on, like, a Saturday. I don't really have to do anything, and I drink one, and I'm like, okay, now I'm okay.
That's where, like, that Starbucks cold brew is for me.
Oh, I think cold brew might be the one thing that can still get me going.
Because for me, though, it's, like, it's the first, like, drink.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's not even, like, oh, I've had half, but I'm starting to feel, but it's,
the,
like,
the first,
oh, I'm good to go now.
Isn't that their motto or something?
Oh, I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah.
That's how I am with nicotine. Like, I usually take my first pouch at like 4 or 5 in the morning, and then it's like, okay, my dreams are fucking nuts. But that's what gets my day going.
We need to get the sales team on this Celsius stuff.
I've submitted some proposals for the sales team recently.
Oh, I gotta do that. I haven't done that in a while.
I don't think they like when you do it.
They used to. They're doing their job.
No, I mean, they're doing a great job. They just signed Toyota.
Yeah,
they know. Exactly.
Toyota Lounge upstairs.
Yeah. First podcast not from the Toyota Lounge since the Toyota Lounge has begun.
We'll have the Nugget Show from the Toyota Lounge tonight.
Yeah.
So excited for that.
Yeah.
I got to hit a break real quick. Tell you guys about Bet365, where you can bet on the Rockies if you really want.
Golf.
And golf. Masters coming up.
Next week.
It was the tech.
It's Brooks Koepka for me.
Okay.
But everybody hates him because he plays on the LIV Tour. So.
Yeah.
But Bet365 is awesome for golf because it does the each way bets for you.
What's that?
So it's when you bet, you put it in, you click the each way button, and it automatically bets that player on their odds on winning it and their odds on their placing it. So like you can bet 1 through 5, 1 through 8, 1 through 10, 1 through 12. So if they get first, they obviously you win both of those bets. But if they don't get first and then they get like 7th, you still win. And that's honestly the way to bet golf is like if you just bet only winners, your day could be ruined on Thursday, like the first day of the tournament. But if you bet them to get 10th, like they could have a crazy good day on Sunday and get 10th place.
Yeah, yeah.
My move is always I take one before the tournament. I'll do like a Wednesday night bet, and then I'll do one more each of the 4 days, and they're all winners. So it's like day two, I'll just be like, this first guy's awesome, so I can get all creative with the second guy, or like if he's not playing well, then I'll do like I just gotta get a favorite in here. And then hopefully by, like, Sunday, you're just edging, you know?
Yeah, that's the best way.
Right. Yeah. Like, hopefully you've got, like, 2 guys in it, and there's, like, 2 others, and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't started looking at who I'm betting for the Masters yet, though. Old LIV Tour thing is, it's a weird dynamic.
It is. The Masters.
So they're allowed to play, right?
Yes, they are. Yeah. If they qualified for it. Yeah.
Right. Should be interesting. Use code DNVR365 when you sign up. Must be 21 plus, physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Also, shout out to Breck Brew, the official craft beer of DNVR. Get it here at the bar. I'm drinking one right now. I think it's the Funslinger. Try out some of our favorites as well. The Avalanche Amber, the Mile High City, Broncos Country Pale Ale, the Fun Slinger. They got good company, hard seltzers too. If you want to know where to get Breck Brew, check out their beer locator. Just type in your zip code. Shows you exactly where to get Breckenridge Brewery. This podcast presented by Breck Brew, the official craft beer of DNVR. All right, let's move on from the Rockies and talk about professional athletes betting on their sports. So obviously, Jontay Porter is caught up in a little betting ring, it seems like. Potentially. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I was actually doing some research, man, for this show. Did you know that as of last year, 10 NFL players have gotten suspended for gambling on the NFL?
Yeah, there is. The most funny part to me about this is when all this comes out, because this is obviously way more prevalent.
Yeah.
And some people think it's ridiculous because they're like, welcome back to this NFL game brought to you by DraftKings. But the player, like, people don't understand how much these players know versus what you cover the Nuggets, right?
Yeah.
You're as fucking connected to the Nuggets as any human outside of that team can be.
Right.
And they know a million times more about every day than you do.
Of course, yeah.
And I've kind of learned that over the years of like just learning, being around you guys covering teams. And I always find it hilarious when it's like, yeah, this guy placed three $10 bets, and that's what's causing him an entire season. Like, what are you doing? Or somebody, one of the Broncos.
Yeah.
He went through his girlfriend's FanDuel. Like,
there was a player.
Are they not going to realize?
I remember hearing about this when it happened, but I just saw it again when I looked it up. There was this player on the Patriots who, when he was at LSU, they found he placed 8,900 bets. 8,900 bets in a year from like a fraudulent account.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, my question for you guys is like, how many players actually do this?
Well, I would guess it's in the, honestly, the 75% range.
Do you think it's that high?
100%.
75% of pro athletes?
100%. Because in a locker room, first of all, well, the fun parts is like they bet each other. Like, in the, like, certain locker rooms, it's just constant, like,
right,
this and that. But, like, this has made it, there's definitely ways around it. Like, you have to be careful. You have to be super careful now, especially in the last 2 years.
100%.
But I would venture to guess, or right around, anywhere between, I'll dumb that down a little bit, to 50 to 75% of them bet on sports. Now, whether that's legally according to the federal law,
okay,
or you know, through someone else. But like the Jontay Porter situation, I think, you know, his situation is a little different, but I think some of these players see as an opportunity for their boys to make some money, you know, and they're like, hey, I might not play tonight. I might, you know, play 2 minutes tonight, like take all my unders, or like kind of like the Jontay Porter situation. Now, certain players make enough money to where you think that wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, they're looking at it as a semi-free pass for their friends to be able to make money.
Yeah.
Now, how crooked does that all get? You could talk for hours about it, but I think a lot of them do. I think it's just, you have to be careful about how you do.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, 75% betting on DraftKings or something.
Oh,
or Bet365.
No, I don't. I think...
I agree that, like, probably 80-90% of guys in an NBA locker room are betting on stuff, but just, you know, hand to hand, not on like an app.
And there's even stuff like what Christian Brown had to wear the UConn jersey,
right?
Is that what it was? Because he made the bet with Colin Gillespie.
Gonzaga.
That's what it was. Like, that's nice for the cameras, but
you think
who would
buy
five if there was like a couple $100 bucks? I guess it's NBA money. It's not $100. You know, there's like that kind of stuff that's going on too. So it's not, that isn't the end of the world. And honestly, a bunch of the NFL policies are way too restrictive, I think. And I get it. Like, you got to keep some distance because as soon as you have like real betting scandal, things change.
Yeah.
Like, that's when people get to say, like, your league isn't legit anymore. Like, it's one of the very few things that could really cause real danger to something like the NFL is a real big betting scandal. And Shohei Ohtani's thing is kind of given that for Major League Baseball.
That's gone away pretty quickly.
It sure has. We'll see if it comes back. But that's where, like, the NFL, all their rules were you couldn't bet on team property. And so even like if you make a college basketball bet on FanDuel while you're on the team bus or on a team hotel, in a team hotel when you're like on a road trip, you're out for I guess that will wound up being a 6-week suspension, which is a pretty big number for just like doing a pretty normal bet. You know, I think that line just needs to be drawn where you can't bet on your own games. You probably just have to say you can't bet on any NFL games.
I think that's why the line is drawn. Should be drawn is you cannot bet on your own sport.
Yep.
And that's like, you know, they should make the penalty serious for that. Like,
totally.
What is it? Awazarike, the guy that's suspended for the Broncos for the entire year. He was using his girlfriend's FanDuel account.
Yep.
But what was he betting on? Do we know?
He had one bet on the Broncos game
to win. Important.
And
because to lose is different.
Yeah. But then I just think like these are, you know, adult men or women in professional sports. Like, if you want to gamble on sports, fine. Like, that, I don't think that should be a problem. I think it's obviously if you're betting in your own sport, that's where it becomes an issue.
Yep.
But the whole team property thing, and I'm not an NFL player, but I would imagine they lay that out to you pretty clearly of like what you can and can't do.
Oh, yeah.
So just play. Like, it's not that hard.
That was one.
Then place your bets.
When Sean Payton showed up, he said the NFL sends out like this 5-page document that's super intense, and you read it and you come away understanding the rules less than before when you read it. So he was like, yeah, I mean, you kind of get how these guys would make mistakes because they don't make it nearly as clear as you'd think. And so he went through and was like, we're just doing like a 30-minute PowerPoint and everybody's getting all these rules and all the words.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you just got to summarize it and send it to everybody.
Posted on the wall in the locker room, too.
In the NBA,
like,
too.
It's like, there's two spots in the locker room where they have the rules posted. It's like, you can't, like, if you screw up, there it is.
Yeah.
But like you said, I mean, there's still bets on all sorts of different things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and like I said, I feel like it should be, it's obviously regulated. It's insanely regulated. But if they, like, they're the people that should be betting money. You know, you got people that are making $1,000 a month and betting $1,000 a month. Those are the people that it should not be.
Exactly.
The people that make millions and want to throw a couple thousand in a game, that's
exactly
a different story.
Yeah. Also, I mean, the NFL does have rules that are above the rules that normal people have to follow. You know, like when you think about like the way their suspensions work, like there's a lot of like things that you can do, like public intoxication. Like, it does kind of make sense for them to have higher standards and for them to almost say, like, we're protecting these guys from gambling addiction. Right. Like, I kind of see it. But at the same time, you just have to treat them as adults.
You're our golf guy, Spence. How much gambling gets done on the golf course?
It's absolutely, like, if you've played golf more than one time, you've gambled on. Like, it is the most extensive. It'd be like, If I had to relate it to like basketball, it'd be like two dudes running down the court and Christian Brown being like, "Yeah, I bet you $1,000 I'm gonna score on this next possession." Like, that's how, because it's hole by hole. It's, I bet you $50 you won't make that putt right now. Like, it's every shot can be bet on, and every, like, gambling. I think golf and gambling are like two things that just go hand in hand. Yeah. If you don't gamble on golf, you're just like not. I mean, maybe your group doesn't or whatever, but like it can be something as simple as like some gambling games we play are a quarter a point.
Right.
So it's not about the money. It's not about like trying to make money on this.
Do when you golf.
Yeah, you're like, I would like this guy to hand me $10 at the end of this. Like, $10 isn't going to change your life or change, you know, anything. But it's just a matter of like, all right, yeah, you paid me, so.
And you're playing for something. Like, like, you're not just out there like golf. You kind of play against yourself. When you play a game like that, it's actually like a game. It's intense.
So how much do guys on the tour gamble?
Oh, it's,
do you think?
It's an, I'd say close to 100.
Are there rules against it, or it's a free-for-all?
Well, so they obviously can't gamble on their own sport, but like Phil Mickelson is known as one of the biggest gamblers in the history.
Right.
So like, and even like they go out for practice rounds on Wednesday, and hundreds of thousands are being thrown around.
Oh, yeah, practice round. Nothing's like a prime gambling spot.
Yeah, exactly. And those are like the plane rides for NBA players or whatever. Like, you know, that's just the spot where they're just hanging out. There's not 1,000 cameras there. There's not 1,000 people watching them. they're just hanging out. They're like, all right, I'm definitely taking this guy for $2,000 or $3,000.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, like, it, golf gambling can be tough because the handicaps. And so, like, I have friends who would be like 20 handicaps, but don't actually track their handicap. And so you have to decide, like, okay, how many shots are giving you based on nothing? When you're those pro guys, like, you just play straight up.
Yeah.
That would make it so much easier.
Yeah, everybody just plays straight up.
Because even, like I'll play, like, with RK, and it's like, okay, I get, like, 3 shots a side or something. 2 shots a side. And it's like, it kind of feels bad when you win because you know that you got the shots. But it's like, it's fair because that's how good a golfer is. But it just feels, like, wrong. When you're those guys, you're just like, okay, straight up, let's just go. Right. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, every time you lose to somebody that you give shots to, you're like, that, you're fucked.
I do. It's dirty
every time.
But you have to do it. Like, you track the numbers for that reason.
Right.
But it just doesn't feel right.
What's the most money you've lost on the golf course?
It's under 5 figures, but over 4.
Wait, like at once?
In one day.
What?
It gets somehow. Yeah. Sometimes it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gets. But I've also won that. So
yeah.
I think my best day on the golf
course. So you're probably about even.
Yeah, let's call it that.
Okay. Interesting.
Let's call it that.
Oh, my God. I don't know if you guys saw this, to change topics again here. Hey, do you guys watch Love is Blind?
Yeah, sometimes.
I mean, there it came out during COVID. I watched, like, the first few episodes.
It's a very, yeah, it's a very interesting concept. Let's put it
Did you know they're filming this new season in Denver?
I did, because I actually have a friend on it.
You do.
She is on the show.
So I heard actually also somebody from DNVR was approached about also being on the show.
Mm.
I don't know if I can say no. I mean, there's only so many females. It was a female. I'll say that. It was a female. I don't know if I can say who though. But you have a friend on it.
Yeah, she is on the show. She, through another friend, may or may not have sent a picture this weekend of something that ends up happening in the show. So we kind of know her, we'll know her fate from the jump.
Are you close enough friends where you'll be in the wedding?
No.
No?
It's a friend is, it's more like an acquaintance, but it's a close friend of a close friend group.
Okay.
That I've been close friends with since high school. She kind of joined our group later in life, like the last 5 years, and then she became close with a couple of the girls in that group, and so now I have all the inside. Well, not, I don't like care to like know about everything, but I know that she,
like, it can't get that interesting.
No, yeah, like I know she gets to a certain point that only certain people get to. So
oh, so she's like one of the focal characters.
Apparently, yes.
Potentially,
apparently, yes.
I just thought it was interesting because I saw this article on some of the places where they filmed it here.
Yeah. Where are some of the places?
I'll tell you. On March 27th, this is on Axios Denver. March 27th, the cast was spotted at Retrograde, a speakeasy in Denver's North Cap Hill neighborhood, hidden inside the ice cream parlor suite action. I've never heard of
this. Yeah. Oh, I lived like a block away.
That's, Retrograde?
Wait, that's the place right by... Is it? It's in Rhino, right?
Or no, this says Cap Hill.
Cap Hill.
It's that, like, you have to walk it through an ice cream restaurant to get to it. It's like 19th in Pennsylvania.
Okay, there's a place like that in Rhino where you walk through an ice cream shop. Kayla, it's by, what's that one super famous bar? Trax.
Oh, I'm gonna.
Well, yeah, it's a...
it's a gay bar.
Oh, that makes sense. There we go.
I didn't want to say.
That adds up. That adds up. Okay, no, I don't know. I don't know. Well,
you should
go on and tell them about me today.
You should go. So they went to Retrograde. On March 24th, the cast stopped by Le Bibloque, a French restaurant in Denver's Cherry Creek neighborhood. I've been there. It's pretty good. Fancy.
Oh.
The night before, the cast filmed an episode in Centennial at the Mexican restaurant My Neighbor Felix.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Been there.
That place is
I haven't been to the one in Centennial, but... they took like a year to build that. That shit is like, it's right next to
I bet the one in the Highlands, not that good.
Yeah.
I agree. Highlands, I'm definitely
not. It's very, like, it's a, very mid.
Yeah, at best. Also heard sneaky, shady place.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like, I think, like, something's up with the owners.
Like?
I can't remember. I wish, it's like, it's a Reddit thread that I read, like, a month ago.
Okay.
Yeah, but not, I didn't like the place before. I was like, oh, well, you can cross that
one. I went there right when it opened in the Highlands. Not that great.
It's not that good.
That same day, the filming crew was spotted at Odell Brewing, Sloan's Lake Brew House and Pizzeria. I haven't been there either.
I've been to the Odell in Fort Collins, but not Sloan's Lake.
Oh.
And then on March 22nd, Love is Blind stage a hot yoga class at Root to Rise. So they're all over the place. And then they were at Linger March 19th.
Okay. Bit there.
Would you guys go on Love is Blind if you were single? Right now. If you were single right now.
Yeah, I think I would.
I would.
I 100% would. Yeah, I think it'd be so interesting to literally never have a physical connection and try to like find out if you actually want to marry somebody. That's the part that's crazy to me is like the whole,
yeah,
like, yeah, you talk for, I don't know what the extent of the show is like in real lifetime, but
like I think they're actually in those pods for like way longer than we think. Like, I think they spend, you know, like the whole day talking to other people.
There's so much B-roll on those.
Yeah.
But I think they, now that I'm trying to remember it, I think I met, they've only been filming this show since, goddamn,
2019?
No, I'm saying like episode, like this specific whole season. They've only been filming it for no less than a month. Less than 2 months.
Right.
So, like, she left, like, the girl that I know, she left on, like, a Sunday 6 or 7 weeks ago, I want to say.
Okay.
So that's the part that's insane to me is, like, you're getting married. Like, there's very few, especially in our age of dating and marriage and shit, like, you don't marry someone after 6 weeks. Like, yeah, in the 1940s, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, I think that's the part that's a little over the top to me. But, like, continuing a relationship that you found on the show past it is, you know, not inconceivable. But I don't know if I could get married after 6 weeks.
Exactly. Well, I also don't know, like, I don't know what I would talk about with somebody for, like, that long.
I know.
Which, you know, because, well, like, if you're sitting there talking, like, I just don't know how that works. Well, obviously, you got to talk to somebody a lot if you're playing getting married in, like, 6 weeks.
Do you think Bo Nix is any good at quarterback?
Right.
Like, watch these clips. Like that's literally what I was doing.
Phone under the
like,
door.
That's what I was doing before my nap today. I was just like, okay, I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna watch Bo Nix's two best games, and then immediately after, watch Michael Penix Jr.'s two worst games, and see if that can like spark something in me.
Did it?
No.
It sparked a nap.
It did. I was just like,
it
I got
sparked you sleeping.
Exactly. I was like, I got so hours.
You're like, I need.
I've got to do this. So yeah, I mean, getting back to Love is Blunt, I just can't see it going well. Because, again, like, I can't imagine just sitting there and talking to somebody for that long and then being like, let's get married. Like,
Well, the beautiful thing about it is I was talking with Kale about this. If you get married and it works out, cool. But if you don't, everybody's like, oh, it's whatever. Like, they didn't see each other before they got engaged. Yeah, it's like you can break it off and nobody's mad at you for it.
Yeah,
and you're also famous after. Like,
exactly.
Like, you don't even have to. I had a friend go on The Bachelor, or Bachelorette, and now he's like uber ridiculously famous, and he didn't even make it like he was just one of the, you know, more popular dudes on the show, and now it's his life's insane.
I'm trying to remember, there was Blake from The Bachelors from Denver. There's another guy. I think it was the other guy who was, like, up here. It was a couple years ago, like, potentially doing, like, a show with us or something.
I think that was Blake.
Maybe that was Blake.
I think it was here.
And I remember being like, oh, that's kind of neat. And then, like, you're just like, yeah, this Blake guy was there. And then everybody's like, Blake was there? You bet Blake?
He's famous enough to take, like, a first shot at the Nuggets game.
It's
I think he's actually taken, like, multiple.
How does that work? Do they have, like, a list of people?
The first shot.
Do they try to, like, plan that for the whole year?
I mean,
you probably start by, like, you go through and see what concerts are in town. Because, like, Jack Harlow did one.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, why is Jack Harlow here? And it's like, oh, because he has a concert that starts, like, 2 hours after tip-off, and he's just going to take off.
Yeah.
And so, like, I guess you'd start with that. And then you have, like, a list of notable people in Denver. You have, like, all the sports stars. And I guess those are probably your, like, backups. It's like if push comes to shove, it's like,
yeah,
here's
yeah,
this guy that likes to have a
pool. People that they know live in Denver that they could hit up
on
the day of and like, hey, we need somebody.
Yeah.
And then,
do you want to sit courtside tonight? Okay, yeah. You got to take this shot for us.
Yeah, and then somebody bails, and so it's just like, hey, it's that guy from Altitude.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we got Bill Hanslick.
Exactly.
He's 0-7 on yeah. But was your friend that's on the show, is she like, was she like famous at all, or did she do a casting thing? Or
no, she wasn't famous at all before this. I think she had like under 1,000 Instagram followers, so it must have been just the whole like casting scenario. But it's funny because she was actually the last I remember her, she was with dating one of my friends.
Does she have like a really hilarious like dating story or something? Because I feel that could get you on the show too.
Huh. Not as far as I know.
Okay.
I'm excited to watch the show to specifically like obviously like. When you see somebody you know, it just makes it completely different.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to watch. I think I will watch this season. I haven't watched since season one.
Yeah.
I think, since
I'm
going
to be tempted
out.
To.
Like,
if I was planning it, I'm not sure where I would send them. Other than the DMVR bar. There would obviously be a date at the DMVR bar. Other than that, I'm not really sure.
Real quick, let me hit a break. If you want to come down to the bar, tons of events going on here at DMVR. We got a Nuggets takeover on Saturday for the home game here that we still have tickets for. Limited supply, though, but you can get them at thedmvr.com. Just go to the events calendar. You can join me, Adam, Vote, D-Line, Dev. We'll all be there this Saturday.
That's going to be crazy.
Is it takeover?
I wasn't planning on it. We're going to get furniture for our balcony this weekend. So.
Okay.
Not a grill, though.
Not a grill.
Nugget talks, baby. Nugget talks.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah. So you can get tickets for that. TheDNVR.com, just under the events tab. Limited availability, but we still do have some tickets left. So get on that quick if you want to come watch the Nuggets with us. Come to the bar. Bus leaves from the bar. Then the bus comes right back to the bar afterwards. So it's a fun night. You can hang out with the DNVR crew, hang out with a bunch of other Nuggets fans as well.
Here's a question.
So,
how far is too far to scooter? What's like the reasonable scooter range? I'm just curious.
Are you thinking about scootering from here to the arena?
I was thinking from here to here from my home.
Oh. I don't know.
Oh, I've scootered that 100 times.
Exactly.
Did you move or do you live in the same area?
I'm at your old place.
Oh, you
remember Alara.
Oh, okay.
Which maybe I shouldn't say it. Doesn't too late now.
Oh, my old.
Old place.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a little far.
It is a long scooter, but they've created bike paths since then.
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
So
it's like a 20-minute scooter.
I would say if it's not too long to run your scooter out of battery there and back, I think it's not too far.
Where I'm at. Because, like, I've done, like, sometimes you'll even, like, go to the Broncos State, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like, because there's so many bike paths and everything, it's just so easy.
Yeah, one morning I left my truck at the Broncos Stadium one Sunday night. I scootered all the way from my apartment to there. It was Colfax at 4 a.m. on a fucking Monday morning. Was a treat.
Damn.
Yeah, it was cold. It was not my best.
Sometimes, like, the next morning scooters are the best scooters, though. Or, like, you know what it is? It's the scooters to go back and get the call. Where it's like, it's so many playoff games.
You're like a little hungover.
Exactly. It's like, you know, let's just get it over with. We're just going to get out there. But it's actually like kind of pleasant out. The thing is, because we got to figure out what the plan is for all these watch parties. There's going to be Nuggets and Avs games every night here.
Oh, it's going
to
be insane.
And so it's like, we just have to have like the baseline plan. Like, is that drive here, leave a car, Uber back, and then come get the next morning? Is it just scooter both ways?
I don't know.
That's my current life dilemma.
Interesting.
Well, yeah.
You only have a couple weeks to figure it out.
It's true.
I'll also check out Factor Meal Kits. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Always fresh, never frozen. Chef-crafted, dietitian-approved. These things taste really good. They don't taste like a regular frozen meal. Keep them in your fridge and then just pop them in the microwave for 2 minutes. Boom, ready to go. So if you don't have time to cook, if you don't want to spend the time to cook, go with Factor Meal Kits. These things taste great. Tons of different options, too. You can go to Factor's website, select what you want. Go to factormeals.com/DNVR50. Get 50% off your order. It's a huge discount. 50% off your order, factormeals.com, DNVR50. The last thing I was going to say about Love is Blind, I brought up the if she like has a story about her, because we were going to submit one of my good friends for Love is Blind, and he has like a ridiculous breakup story that I feel like they would have been into.
What happened? Yeah, can you tell us?
I can probably tell you. Yeah, I can probably tell you. So he, college girlfriend, and like they got married. I was in the wedding, actually.
Congrats.
Thank you.
if he's getting onto Love is Blind, as Freya was it a good wedding at least?
Oh, it was a good wedding. Yeah. Good wedding. He's now divorced. They were married for like a year, and she cheated on him with one of her, I guess I'll call it, clients.
Oh,
she was a social worker.
Oh no.
That's bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
That is bad. Oh, yeah.
I feel like that could get you onto Love is Blind.
It could. 100%. Definitely. Oh, yeah. Because if you're not interesting outside of that, I mean, what? Telling that story is like 5 minutes of content.
Yeah.
Like that's like that's 1% of the season, you know?
Yeah.
What?
But yeah, he was married for like a year.
How did he find out?
How did you find out?
She just like at work overnight. She's like, I just stay with
you. Know what it was? I really hope he doesn't listen to this. she had to tell him because somehow her work found out and she was getting fired and her license was getting pulled. It's obvious.
That'll happen. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. of course.
Yeah. If you're a social worker, you're probably, you can hook up with your, the people you're working
with. Well, too social.
Yeah.
She took social worker to a new level. Yikes, that's crazy.
Wow.
And then she had to tell him. I mean, of course that was it.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. But I feel like he could get on Love is Blind with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
I'm going to be curious, because do you watch this show?
I haven't watched this season. I've watched the last couple, though.
So do they get, like, start with that? Like,
oh, is this or season is it on?
I think there was a season that just wrapped.
Oh, okay.
I mean, obviously the Denver one's not on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember. Do they, like, start with, like, a little story about themselves?
I mean, you probably mention it if you have something like that.
Right.
Producers are probably like, all right, you got to, you know, this might be time to let the story out, exactly. You know? But I just feel like from a casting standpoint, that could get you in the conversation.
100%.
Definitely.
But then we also learned that, apparently, they just reach out to people and they're like, do you want to cast for this show?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have a, you know, any like sense of a following or something, they probably want you on.
Definitely. The MVR representation would have, like, there would have been 10,000 people watched because of that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Last topic for today, Caitlin Clark.
My girl.
Your girl.
CC.
You're an Iowa guy.
Iowa guy. Grandpa played basketball there way back in the day.
What's this been like for you?
Incredible.
Yeah.
The the fact that I was so nervous like going into last night, because
I was kind of nervous too, and I didn't even go there.
It's like they needed to win that game for like the revenge part of it.
Yeah.
But also that was one of those where if your team is in a really big game, no matter what, it's going to hurt or like be. But it just felt that much better to beat that team.
Yeah.
And I still don't think, like, it's not going to be all forgotten if they don't win the national championship. Obviously, that would be the stamp on this run. But beating that team, and Caitlin Clark is the most famous women's basketball player there ever has been in terms of moving the needle on TV. She's also, you can argue best, like, until everybody has their idea of who's the best player.
If she wins a championship, she's got a really strong case for best.
Sure. Exactly. And because that's the only thing that she doesn't have right now. She has every other record under the sun. But it was, like, I don't watch a ton of girls basketball outside of Iowa. And just watching that game last night, the talent, the skill level, going back and forth, it was just, like, good basketball.
It was a great
watch. Yeah, it was just, like, there was a Iowa run to start. I was worried because I was like, we're shooting the lights out. They haven't made anything. We're only up like four.
Yeah.
And then we were down at the end of the first quarter. I was like, this is not good.
Yeah.
And
then Angel sprayed her ankle, and that was kind of the turning point.
Yeah, exactly. I think she still had like 20 boards or something insane. Yeah. But just the talent level. And it's actually funny to beat them with Haley Van Lith, because she left Louisville to go to LSU to try to win a national title. And then they end up, but just the talent level on both of those teams, and girls like Megan O'Grady, who's like the backup center for Iowa.
Yeah.
Stolke got into foul trouble against Angel Reese, and so they put her in, and then she balls out. Like,
right.
Stories like that. And, one of Molly Davis is one of Iowa's starters that's been out since like the Big Ten tournament. She's not coming back. So a chick stepped in, Sydney, and she's been great. Like, it's just they're. The way they move the ball on offense, even outside of Caitlin Clark, like, their transition is insane. Like, Caitlin does, hold the ball a little bit and get her shot because she's that good, they just move the ball so well. And it's such a different game because you're not, like, you can overpower people in the women's game, but there's not, like, turnaround dunk, like, blocks at the rim. Like, you have to be so much more skilled any other places, which makes it fun to watch.
Dude, I didn't know she was this kind of passer.
Yeah, that's...
Like, we watched her last year, but I don't think we saw this passing from her.
Well, I think she kind of realized, like, she did what... basically did the same thing last year, and they couldn't get to the... They couldn't get through win at all, and so she's like, all right. Because certain teams, they beat up Colorado, unfortunately, for everyone here, pretty well. But, like, West Virginia D'd her up. I had, like, five or six girls in foul trouble, and that's how you kind of try to beat them. Like, you have to get up, and so... In order for her to do anything, she was just had to get rid of the ball. And if her teammates are playing well, like they're hitting shots, then that team's pretty unstoppable.
Yeah.
And there were a couple group chats where I there was one message in particular where somebody was like, outside of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, this is kind of an ugly game. And it's like, compared to the NBA, maybe. Remember that you're comparing this to men's college basketball, which is the ugliest sport that there is.
It might be
and so
better.
It's 100%, because when you have Caitlin out there just doing things, like, it's unstoppable. And she hits those threes at such an insane rate that, like, there's nothing like that in men's college basketball. Like, it's not just that you have Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, and, you throw, like, I guess you could throw, like, Van Lith in there. You could throw, like, Paige Beckers in there. Juju Watkins, like, you have... probably four stars in the women's game that are bigger than any star in the men's game right now. Because, who is like the number one? Like, is DJ Burns the like top star of March Madness right now on the men's side? Like, I don't even know who. I guess
Zach Edey.
I thought it was Edey, then I was listening to everybody saying
Edey.
I think it's Edey too. I said Edey, yeah. But, you've got him out there, but it's like four for four, like, on the women's side, which is crazy. Yeah. And a lot of that is NIL, because you have the State Farm commercials with Caitlin Clark everywhere. You've got the New Balance commercials with Cameron Brink, and all that sort of stuff just means that you're seeing them even if you're not looking for them, which hasn't been the case in the past. It's basically if you're watching college, or maybe you see, like, a promo for a game on ESPN, but that's about it. And so the fact that you have them out there being as visible as they are, it's in my opinion, kind of a turning point. Because to me, this women's tournament has been much more interesting than the men's tournament. And maybe I'll guess it.
Last night was appointment viewing in a way that no men's game will be for me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the tweet came out just before we started that LSU-Iowa game got more viewers than any NBA game last year, except for when the Nuggets closed out the Heat in the finals. But the actual championship game, the winning game of the finals was the one game that has more viewers. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's absolutely wild.
But even, like, going over to some of Lexi's family's place for Easter, like, not sports fans at all.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you think of that Caitlin Clark? You know, she's kind of a ball hog. It's like, okay, first of all... Yeah, she's a ball hog. She's the best player. Like,
yeah,
she should be taking a bunch of shots. That's her job. Like, she should be doing, like, that's not even the point, though. The point is you have a take on Caitlin Clark. That's crazy. That is crazy.
The Indiana Fever, who have the first pick in the WNBA draft, they tweeted out a ticket link last night during the middle.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, like, I'm going to start, like, seriously watching her in the WNBA. Like, she is
to
women's college basketball and women's basketball in general what, like, Steph Curry was to the NBA.
Well, somebody had this tweet last night that I totally agreed with. He said, every time Caitlin puts up a three, I get the same feeling I did when Steph shot one in 2016.
You seriously do
like, that tweet is so accurate.
Look, it's
like what's he gonna do this possession? Is she pulling up from the logo? Like, what's she going to do?
100%
feeling you got watching Steph.
I wanted to see LSU win last night.
What?
Mostly because, like, I kind of like the, like, Angel Reese is, mostly I just hate Iowa after Colorado.
I was so hard for Iowa.
That's fair.
I didn't know I could root that hard for a women's game that I had, like, no allegiance in.
Yeah, and I didn't start out pulling for either team, which is kind of the other thing, is that might be the first sporting event that I watched without caring who was going to win in, I don't even know how long. Because at the very least, like, if I'm throwing on, like, a random hockey game, it's because I put some money on something there. Like, at least I'm pulling for the under or something, you know?
Right.
Or, like, if it's an NBA game, it's like, it's the Warriors. I hate the Warriors. You know? Like, there's always something.
I was rooting for Iowa, man. LSU's just, they're so hateable.
Man,
coach, Angel Reese.
Kim Mulkey.
They're hateable.
Kim Mulkey's one of those where it's like,
yeah, she.
People found out about her, a lot of them, like, a year ago. And then they're like, oh, Kim Mulkey's awesome with the suits and stuff. And it's like, she's the fucking devil. I know she seems like women empowerment. Like, look at her out there. But also, like, there's a real dark side of, like. So, yeah. So I've been.
But she's obviously also.
At the same time, though, like, after seeing them beat Colorado, I was just like, fuck them. Like, I want to see Iowa lose. Which is like,
I get it from that perspective.
Yeah, see,
that wasn't like a strong feeling. That's something that came out in the second half where I was like, no, this is making me feel a way. And so I'm on LSU's side.
I felt like LSU and Angel Reese are like they were like the Dallas Cowboys last night where they have their diehard fans for LSU.
Yeah.
And everyone else in America is rooting for Iowa.
It's a
sans betting, of course. Like that changes everything. That changes where your mind lies.
It's crazy.
I actually got three of the four Final Four right in my women's bracket.
Yeah. Wow. I did not do a
women's bracket.
I also feel like the women's game is getting less predictable. Like, it used to be that it was super chalk. Like, the tournament was like,
it's getting there towards the end, but this year I believe the first 32 games, every favorite won.
Interesting. So maybe it feels like,
but you get to the Final Four and it's like a 3-2-1. This is like the men's game. It's a, you know, 2-1s, a 3 and a 4, and men's it's 2-1s, a 3 or 4 and an 11. But same kind of concept, you know. Like, once you get down to the Final Four, it's really just those really good basketball teams. Their teams on an absolute heater.
It's also weird that it's so star driven on the women's side, It's
kind of where, like, men's college basketball was 10 years ago or so.
Was it? Okay. See, that's it a bit, because right now, even these last couple years, there hasn't been, like, since Zion, maybe, like, a guy who's just like, okay, here it is. Even Zion, like, that was the Sabrina Ionescu year, where it's like, they matched that at the time, too.
Yeah, I do think it's an L on the NCAA's part, like, that they didn't have Iowa and LSU later. Final four.
Get them in the same bracket.
And even USC, UConn last night. Right. Like, Juju walked in first page records. Like, how is that not? How are those four teams not the final four teams?
So wait, who's... What other one seeds were there?
South Carolina, who's the number one team.
Yeah, South Carolina.
Still the favorite, I think.
They were a minus money favorite coming into the season.
Yeah, like, they might be like, if Iowa beats UConn and plays them, I bet South Carolina is like a 10-point favorite, 9-point favorite.
That much?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. So they've been the best team by like a mile.
So, yeah, it's Iowa, UConn, South Carolina.
And North Carolina State.
NC State. Yeah, that's right. What seed with NC State?
Three.
Okay.
So, yeah, the NC State and UConn both have men's and women's teams in the Final Four, which I don't know how long that's been.
I know.
Since that happened.
No, that's ridiculous. Well, did UConn?
Well, UConn's won the title. They won it in 2004, 2014. Now it's 2024. They had both win in 2004, both in 2014.
UConn, they have UConn and NC State both.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's crazy.
I'm saying UConn men's and women's.
That is crazy.
In those years.
That is ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know why the women's game is so star dependent. Whereas the men's game, it just doesn't. I guess maybe just because there are stars. Because men's basketball, it's just, you don't have those guys. But it's like, yeah, Paige Beckers is just going to take like 20 shots and she's going to do enough.
Right.
Like Juju Watkins, same thing.
It is a weird feeling. You know, like the four stars in the women's college game right now, and it's not the same for men's.
It's strange.
Yeah, because I honestly, like, UConn's a wagon in men's, well, women's and men's. I couldn't name any UConn player right now.
No, right.
I honestly can't.
The
Klingon.
Klingon. Because weren't the Klingons, like, an alien race in Star Trek or something?
I think so, yeah.
That's what I remember, because of Star Trek.
But yeah, it's him, it's Zach Edey, it's the guy from NC State, DJ Burns, but only because they've made this run.
100%.
Yeah.
There's no star power in men's college.
And for the first time, like, I really want a WNBA team in Denver. Because before, like, people have pushed for that, and I've been like, give me an NWSL team. Like, that, you have, like, all the soccer talent here, like, those are actually U.S. women's national team. Like, I want to go see, like, who knows who you get, whether it's like Sophia Smith or Alex Morgan or whoever it could be. Like, that would be fun to go watch. Whereas WNBA, I haven't been, it's like, we already have the Nuggets. We already have like that stuff. And I haven't been as locked in. I'm worried that you could get one and not the other. But now it is like, if you could get like Caitlin Clark playing here, because what, there's eight teams right now.
Yes.
If you get to 12, you have like, you're getting a couple of stars. Like, if you just look through, like, you got the four or five, depending on how you want to count it, that are in college right now. You got Sabrina, you got, like, Cameron Breen, Kusilla. Like, you're going to wind up with a couple of awesome players. That would be kind of fun to see.
Yeah. I think there's 12 teams in WNBA.
12 now?
Okay. I think 8 make the playoffs still, though.
Oh, okay.
All right. Should be fun. Guys, thanks for hanging out with me today on TDSP. Fun show.
Go Rockies.
Go Rockies. See if they can make some headway in the NL West today.
Yeah.
In Chicago. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys later.
We all sitting like the mayor.